The Quiz Kids, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer for headache.
Alka-Seltzer for acid indigestion.
Alka-Seltzer for cold discomfort.
Yes, when these common ailments make you feel miserable, try Alka-Seltzer for really fast, really effective relief.
And now, class, attention. Here's our first question for today. You Quiz Kids and our listeners, too, have all seen the new 1947 Christmas seal. But can you think of a song that describes last year's seal?
Well, you folks at home, see if you can think up the answer to that one while the youngsters here in our classroom get ready for roll call. And here they are, the Quiz Kids. And now meet a man who in one short week acquired and lost a fine Southern accent. It's our genial chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Bob Murphy, and hi, y'all. Yes, I guess you're right. That Southern accent didn't stay with me very long, but I can tell you the memory of that fine time we had in Montgomery, Alabama, will never be forgotten. During the past week, the Quiz Kids have been getting used to Chicago and winter once more. And this afternoon, they are full of pep and ready, I hope, for a snappy competitive question session. We have Dr. Lewis M. Terman of Stanford University, noted educator and psychologist, as our guest observer this afternoon. Dr. Terman is viewing our classroom from our NBC studios in San Francisco. And later in our program, we'll have the pleasure of hearing from him. But right now, down to business. Ready for roll call, Quiz Kids? Here we go. Lonnie?
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 12 years old in the 7th grade at Lincoln School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
John?
I'm John Pollock. I'm 13 years old in the 8th grade at Trumbull School, Chicago.
Ruthie?
I'm Ruthie Duskin. I'm 13 years old, and I'm in the 10th grade at U High.
Joel?
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 11 years old in 7B DeVolta School in Chicago.
And Mark?
I'm Mark Mullen. I'm in second grade, and I'm 7 years old in the University of Chicago Laboratory School.
And now back to that first question from Jesse M. Lengel of Buffalo, New York. You Quiz Kids and all our listeners have seen the new 1947 Christmas seal, but can you think of a song that describes last year's seal? We have two hands up, and Ruthie's hand was first.
Well, I think there might be any number of them. As I remember it, last year's seal was a picture of a child praying at night, so it could be Silent Night.
No, that's incorrect, Ruthie. The picture that you gave me was not on last year's seal. Joel?
Well, I don't remember last year's seal too much, so the only song I can think of is Long, Long Ago.
No, I'm sorry. You give up on this one? Well, there was a picture of a man lighting a lamp on last year. Oh, look at the hands go up now. So that would be, John?
The old lamplighter.
The old lamplighter. By the way, can you sing a part of it for us?
I think so. He makes the night a little brighter wherever he would go. The old lamplighter of long, long ago.
Bye, Lonnie. That was fine. Well, I had to give you a hint on that, and I'm going to have to call that one wrong, Quiz Kids. And Jesse M. Lengel of Buffalo, New York, our miss is your gain. Alka-Seltzer will send you the magnificent $250 Zenith Radio Phonograph combination immediately. As you know, folks, this fine set is complete in every way. It has the automatic record changer, the new Cobra tone arm, two FM bands, and it's a real beauty. That's always Alka-Seltzer's reward when the Quiz Kids miss your question. When they answer correctly, you get one of those dandy Zenith Transoceanic portable radios in the handsome luggage case. You'll be proud of either fine Zenith radio, so get your questions in, friends. Just send them to Quiz Kids, Chicago. Now for this question from Mrs. Tina Principato of Roslindale, Massachusetts. You children are to answer by quoting the next lines from these poems. First, why do you love a cow in the poem that begins, "The friendly cow all red and white, I love with all my heart." Joel?
Doesn't she give you cream for cream and tarts?
Well, can you recite the other lines?
The friendly cow all red and white, I love with all my heart. She gives me cream and... with all her might, for cream and apple tart.
That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Now, why is it that I love Little Pussy in the poem that begins, I love Little Pussy? Mark?
Because her coat is so warm.
And what else? Do you know the rest of it?
If I don't hurt her, she'll do me no harm.
Uh-huh. And you know the rest of it? So I'll... What? All right, Ruth.
I'm gonna sit by the fire and give her some milk.
Ruthie, what were you going to say?
Well, I think it's I'll sit by the fire and give her some food.
No, so I'll not pull her tail nor drive her away, but Pussy and I very gently will play. Well, you kids now can really turn your imaginations loose on this one from Robert McEvely of East St. Louis, Illinois. If you were to visit a circus and the sideshow and found the animals changed places with the performers, what animals would you imagine taking the place of the human performers? Mark?
Well, for the first man you saw outside, the barker, who would call the people to come, you could have a dog.
Yes, Dan. Now, that's the idea, Mark. That's fine. That's wonderful. John?
You have Jojo, the man-faced dog.
That's all right, too. Ruthie?
Well, probably the sword swallower could be some big fish who eats swordfishes.
Well, could be, sure. And Lonnie?
Well, the elephant could be the fat lady.
Yes, so he could, couldn't he? Uh-huh. I hadn't thought of that. Joel?
Well, the hyena could be the clown. They'd always be laughing.
Sure, the laughing hyena. And Mark?
The pelican could also be the sword swallower because
yes,
he could put it down his
oh, throat. You bet. You betcha. Ruthie?
And the goat could be the bearded lady.
The bearded lady, that's right. Lonnie?
Well, there could be a... Well, you usually see a leopard man in the sideshow. Well, that could be an actual leopard there.
That's right, uh-huh. And Mark has another.
For the tattooed person, it could be the ocelot because they have spots and stripes.
Well, so they do. Now, what do you know about that? And do you have another one?
The gorilla could be the strong person.
He could, yeah, the strong man. And Joel?
Well, the flying squirrel, if they had any flying squirrels, they could be the trapeze performers.
Well, that's very good. Those were all very good, kids. Thanks very, very much. M. Frank of this city sends in a question that is a lot harder than it sounds. If you were a miner, which of these elements would you never find in nature? Ruthenium, neptunium, iridium, and americium. Almost got some of that all over me. Ruthie?
Well, americium and I think you named neptunium.
Neptunium.
Were both created artificially from uranium-238.
That's right, Ruthie. That is absolutely right. Well, we certainly have some good questions this afternoon, and we're moving right along, and let's see what this next one is.
Well, hold that for 1 minute, will you, Joe? Because that's all the time I'll need to tell the folks about Alka-Seltzer's speedy relief for cold discomfort. It's the ABC cold comfort treatment, friends, and if you're bothered with a cold, you'll want to try it right away. Here it is. Listen. A, Alka-Seltzer. Take it at once to help relieve that feverish, ache-all-over feeling. B, B-Y. Beware of drafts. Be sure you dress sensibly. Be careful of your diet. And try to get more rest than usual. And C, comfort that sore throat caused by your cold by gargling with Alka-Seltzer. Just make a soothing gargle using 2 tablets of Alka-Seltzer in 1/4 glass of warm water and see how quickly it eases that raspy feeling. There it is, Alka-Seltzer's ABC cold comfort treatment. Easy to follow and really effective. So here's the good advice. At the first sign of a cough or sneeze, start Alka-Seltzer's ABCs. And now, Joe, let's hear that question.
Well, Greta Barton of South Bend, Indiana, wants you children to imagine that you are newspaper correspondents covering important gatherings. Tell what meetings these would be by listening to the following songs played by our organist, Howard Peterson. Get 2 out of 3 on this one, kids, if you can. Here's number 1. Lonnie?
That's London Bridge is falling down.
So? London Bridge is falling down, and what gathering do you associate with the song. Mark?
Could that be the newspaper man writing in the newspaper that a bridge had fallen down?
Well, that's a good try, Mark. Ruthie?
Well, I always associate a children's party with London bridges falling down.
Well, that's true, but we're thinking about, in terms of newspaper correspondence covering important gatherings. And, John?
Well, the meeting of foreign ministers in London.
That's absolutely right. That's the answer. The big four foreign ministers conference now in session in London. See if you can get this next one. Lonnie?
That's old MacDonald had a farm, so I suppose it'd be the 4-H meeting, the anniversary.
It was last week held here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And let's see, we have three other hands up. John?
The stock show.
The stock show. The livestock show, which closed last night here in Chicago. And here are just two notes now, kids, on the next one. What important gathering do they suggest? Lonnie?
It's D.C., so I imagine it'd be in the District of Columbia. The
what?
In Washington.
D.C., Washington, D.C.? You gave me the right notes. D.C., Washington, D.C. We're on the right track now. What important gathering in Washington, D.C.? What about that one, kids? Would you like to hazard a guess? All right, Ruthie?
Well, is Congress holding a special session or something?
Are they?
I don't know. Are they?
Well, I'm asking you.
Okay, go. I'll say that.
Yes, it's the special session of Congress.
That's absolutely right.
Meeting to discuss the Marshall Plan for Europe.
That's correct, Joel. Very, very good. Mm-hmm. Now, you children probably are all wondering just what's on the table that's been in front of you all through the program here. And now that it's uncovered, you see that there is a group of articles. Mrs. Angelo Patty of Buffalo, New York, who suggested this question, wants you to guess what proverb is suggested by each of the articles on the table. You're to get 2 out of 3 on this. Here's the first one. A picture of a man and a boy. What proverb? A man and a boy. Lonnie.
Like father, like son.
Like father, like son. That's right. Next, a stocking with a run in it. Ruthie?
A stitch in time saves 9.
That's correct. And next, 1 shiny new penny. John?
Penny wise is a penny saved, or penny earned is a penny saved.
Penny
saved is a penny earned.
That's it, John. Good boy. Uh-huh. Ada Marr of River Forest, Illinois, asks this question. If you were to book passage from these points, what Shakespearean character would you be? First, from Tyre to Tarsus. Ruthie?
Well, isn't that Pericles? He Pericles. Was Prince of Tyre.
Pericles is correct. And say, incidentally, I have his itinerary right on my card here. Let's see what it says. It says, Tyre to Antioch, Antioch back to Tyre, Tyre to Tarsus, Tarsus to Pentapolis, Pentapolis to Tyre, Tyre to Tarsus, Tarsus to Tyre, Mytilene to Ephesus, Ephesus to Pentapolis. Hey, did he get around, huh? From Venice to Cyprus. What character, Lonnie?
Othello, I believe.
Othello. That's correct. And from Sicily to Bohemia. From Sicily to Bohemia. Ruthie?
That was the husband of Paulina. I forget his name. I think it began with A in the Winter's Tale. It was the Winter's Tale, I think.
What first name did you give me? The husband of whom?
Of Paulina.
Paulina? Now, wait a minute. Is
it
right?
It was the girl's name. The girl who was the daughter of Hermione. I forget her name.
Joel.
Perdita.
Perdita, that is absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Joan Niersbach of Huntington Park, California, sent you kids a math problem in verse form. See whether you can figure it out. 100 Dundee hunters hunted hares one day. They took as many hounds along as there were days in May. They chased 3 times as many hares as there were hounds and men, and just as many got away as 2 goes into 10. Now, if each hare weighed twice as much as 1/2 pound of tea, what was the total weight of hares they brought home to me? How about that one? Lonnie?
You said they took 50 hounds along, or half of 100 men.
Now, wait a minute. We have another hand up here. Joel?
Well, they took 31 men and 50 hounds, And how many hairs were there?
Well, now, look, I'm going to repeat this. This is very, very difficult, and I did read it a little fast. Listen carefully now. 50 Dundee hunters hunted hares one day. They took as many hounds along as there were days in May. They chased 3 times as many hares as there were hounds and men, and just as many got away as 2 goes into 10. Now, if each hare weighed twice as much as 1/2 pound of tea, what was the total weight of hares they brought home to me? Joel?
Well, listen. So there were 50 hunters and 31 hounds. That's 81. And 3 times 81 is 243.
Right.
But 5 got away. That's twice into 10. That leaves 238.
238 is the correct...
238 times 1/2 pound of tea is 116.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're doubling up on it.
Repeat the question.
No. I'm sorry. I can't repeat it. You were right down to the very last there, Joel. Lonnie?
Well, it's 238 times 1/4. Well, that would be 1/4 of 238, which would be... that'd be 50.
You're off the beam on that, Lonnie. Ruthie.
Well, I should think it'd be times 1/2, so that'd be 116.
No, I'm sorry. Joel?
Oh, 1/2 of 238 is 119.
No. I'm terribly sorry. Lonnie?
Well, it's 1/2 of 119 then, isn't it?
Well, no.
That'd make
good. The answer is 238. You gave that to me a while ago, Joel, and I practically told you kids about it. You see, I said, if each hare weighed twice as much as 1/2 pound of tea. That's what threw you off. Well, we'll have to count that one a miss. That means that Joel Niersbach of Huntington Park, California, wins a big $250 Zenith radio phonograph combination from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Well, we can't get them all, but we do a pretty good job of getting the ones that we do get. This question comes from Mrs. J.F. Bieber of Oakland, California. There are 2 articles of women's wearing apparel worn next to each other that are spelled with the same 4 letters. What are they? Ruthie?
Shoe and hose.
Shoe and hose. Absolutely right. That's correct. Well, you certainly sailed right through that one. Of course, you listeners realize the quiz kids do not know the subjects to be discussed beforehand. Our program is entirely unrehearsed. And now let's consider this next question.
First, Joe, here's a question for our listeners. Why is Alka-Seltzer such a favorite in so many thousands of homes?
I have an answer for that, Mr. Murphy. Because it's so good for so many common ailments.
That's very true. For example, when a work-filled day at the office or a round of Christmas shopping makes you tense and nervous, and you suffer the discomforts of a headache as a result, the thing to do is...
drink a glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer.
Yes, and you see how soon it gives you the welcome relief you want. Then when you overeat, as most of us do occasionally, and an upset stomach or the discomfort of acid indigestion makes you miserable, again, the thing to do is...
drink a glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer.
Its pain-relieving agents are ready to go to work, right to work on your discomfort because it's already dissolved when you take it. Then when you want relief from the feverish, ache-all-over feeling of a cold, again, the thing to do is...
drink a glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer.
Yes, Alka-Seltzer is so good for so many common ailments. And it is so good because it is so fast-acting. Whenever you put Alka-Seltzer on the job, you can depend on it. You'll get the relief you want with amazing speed. So never be without it in your home. Get Alka-Seltzer at any drugstore in either the 30 or 60-cent size package. And remember, an extra package on the side keeps the family well supplied.
Mr. O.J. Davis of Washington, D.C. wants us to dramatize 2 episodes in United States naval history. You quiz kids are to identify the battle and tell in each instance by what tricky maneuver the American ship won out. Here's the first one.
Quiet now, lads. There. We're drawing up to the Philadelphia now. All right. Ready? Border!
On the side. That's it. Cut the pirates down.
Joe?
Well, that was when the American Navy was putting the weight on Tripoli, and the Philadelphia had been captured by Tripoli.
Yes.
So the squadron of the United States fleet captured a small Moorish catch and got a pilot that could speak Moorish, and they put a crew of 84 aboard that small boat, and they went alongside disguised as a pirate ship, and when they were alongside, then they boarded the ship and burned it.
That's very good, Joe. Very, very good. And now let's listen to this next one.
What are the blasted Americans doing now, I wonder? I'll be blowed if they're not aloft and reefing the topsails. I say, could there be a storm studying? I suppose we might better drop our canvas, too. Hi there, men! Lively, I say! Reef the canvas now, there's a hurricane ahead! Furl the fore and mizzen topsails! Haul away!
Joe?
Well, that was in the War of 1812. Hull in the Constitution was pursued by a 5-ship British fleet, and he saw a black cloud over the horizon, so he pretended he thought a storm was coming, and the British put up their sails too, and when the cloud got between them, there was only a slight rain, he figured, he put up his sails and went full speed ahead, and by the time the sun shower was over, the Americans were a mile away from the British.
I think you left out the part where they lowered their sails, didn't they?
Yes.
Didn't you?
And the British also lowered their sails.
That's right. And then the American put his sails up and away, steamed away. All right, fine. A kindergarten teacher, Miss Florence Whitehead of Rahway, New Jersey, sent in this question, kids. Of course, all of you are years away from your first year in school, but she thinks if you try real hard, you'll be able to recall a few vivid memories. What one thing, good or bad, do you remember most about your first year in school? Ruthie, start it off.
Well, I remember when I was at kindergarten at Pope School, I was, I was about so high. I mean, I was just like a toothpick or something. And I remember I was almost late for school one day. And there was a real long path from the gate to the door of the kindergarten. And there was a very strong wind that day. And I was at the gate. And I remember very vividly the wind practically picked me up and blew me to the door. And I got in just in time.
Well, I'm glad you made it, Ruthie. Lonnie?
Well, in kindergarten, we used to have a sandbox. I remember the teacher was always bawling me out because I was spilling all the sand on the floor.
Just an old sandman, huh? John?
Well, I remember once I was in kindergarten, I got in a fight with another little kid there, and, it was my fault, and I was put into a closet or something. I don't remember what it was. I remember I nearly pounded the door down.
Joel?
Well, I remember we had to move our kindergarten from different rooms, so when we got there, I slipped with some stuff and nearly upset the whole works.
Yeah, you did, the whole kindergarten, huh? And Mark?
Well, I remember once when I was in Newsley School, they had a big rocking boat, great big thing, and some kids left it, and I came along, and I started to get in. The kids came back, and they said, "Get out, we were in this." But the Newsley School teacher said, "When you leave the boat, then somebody else can come in."
Well, what do you
mean? I got into the boat.
Fine. Uh-huh. I was just wondering how that was going to turn out. Well, those are all pleasant memories, I'm sure, you kids. Now then, Mary Connitz of Baltimore, Maryland, and her twin sister like to play a game which they call twin-letter words. In this game, they think of as many words as they can that begin and end with the same two letters in the same order. For example, the word church both begins and ends with the letters C-H. Now, see how many you kids can think of. The first two letters and the last two letters are the same. Well, Ruthie?
Well, the strongest or anything else beginning with S-T and ending with S.
That's very good. Lonnie?
Noon, N-O-N, O-N.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for that. There goes our school bell. That means class is over for today, kids. And while the judges are adding up the scores, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest observer, Dr. Lewis M. Terman of Stanford University, noted educator and psychologist, and the country's greatest authority in his field. For over 40 years, Dr. Terman has been interested in gifted children, in finding them, understanding them, and helping them to make the most of their gifts. 25 years ago, Dr. Terman started to observe a group of 1,400 youngsters of superior intelligence to find out how gifted children turn out. And now, his findings have just been published by Stanford University Press in a book called The Gifted Child Grows Up. It's a book which is bound to get a lot of attention from everyone who has an interest in children and the development of the human race. Dr. Terman is waiting in our NBC studios in San Francisco. That's just about 4 seconds away by radio, and here we go.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly, for your kind introduction. I'm proud to be your guest, for the Quiz Kid program has always appealed to me as one of the finest on the air. It is true that I've given a good part of my life to the study of gifted children. I've tested them for brains, brawn, character, and personality, and in several books have tried to tell the world what they are like. But despite my investigations and those of others, many people continued to think of the brainy child as a freak, physically stunted, mentally lopsided, non-social, and neurotic. Then came the Quiz Kid program, featuring living specimens of gifted youngsters who were obviously healthy, well-adjusted, full of fun, and versatile beyond belief, equally ready with information about Shakespeare and sports, comic strips and astronomy, mathematics and music. Result, the program has done more to correct erroneous ideas about bright children than all the books ever written. From the splendid records made by my California gifted subjects since they were first tested 25 years ago, I can predict successful careers for your quiz kids. And believe me, brains were never more needed than they are in the world of today. The Miles Laboratories are to be congratulated on sponsoring a program at once so delightful and so educational.
Thank you, Dr. Terman. It was certainly a pleasure to have you as guest observer on the Quiz Kids program this afternoon. Well, let's see what those report cards say, children. Of course, you Quiz Kids know, win or lose, you still get a $100 savings bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer to help you with your future education. Here's the judge's verdict. As a class, you missed two questions this afternoon. Ruthie is first, Lonnie second, and Joel third. That means you three will be back in school next week to compete with Bobby Burns, age 7, and Sandra Begas, age 8. And now, until next Sunday, when I hope all you listeners will plan to attend school with us, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the Quiz Kids class. Goodbye, kids.
Bye, Mr. Kelly.
Mothers, are you having trouble getting your growing children to take their vitamins this fall? Try giving them one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which the amount needed for grown-ups and children has been established. What's more, one capsule every day is all they take. And one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules are low in cost. A full 2 months supply for only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamins. Good for growing children and adults. Remember, for vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is one a day. Listen to the Quiz Kids every week and listen to Alka-Seltzer's News of the World every Monday through Friday on most of these NBC stations. This is Bob Murphy speaking. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.